Hello and welcome to this new episode of the What's New on the Net.com podcast. As some of you may know, every week we bring you the latest news from the tech world from around the globe. It's Sunday, June 26, 2022, and in the studio is your favorite host, Saurabh Goswala. So here goes. The week started with a very curious, and I would say, scary development. Nearly half the world's internet went down early Tuesday last following an outage of Cloudflare's servers. Services, claimed Cloudflare, were restored within minutes. The issues were most problematic for users of Cloudflare's own DNS lookup service. Oh, by the way, Cloudflare had experienced similar issues in the past, such as in July and August 2020. Remember Brave Browser? These guys had launched Brave Search a year ago, focusing on an internet user's privacy. 1 year later, Brave Search is exiting its beta phase. Brave Search says it has grown the fastest than any search provider since Microsoft Bing. Here are some numbers provided by the Brave team. 2.5 billion queries in the past 365 days, a high of 14.1 million queries per day and 5 billion queries annualized, projection based on current monthly totals. For comparison, it took Google more than a year to reach 2.5 billion queries, and DuckDuckGo more than 4 years. Way to go, Brave Search. Most of our listeners may have heard of GitHub, right? This week, this platform announced that GitHub Copilot, the artificial intelligence-assisted code writing for developers, was now generally available to individual developers. Copilot uses AI to help you write code. GitHub said since the launch of GitHub Copilot technical preview last year, it had become abundantly clear that AI was one of the best tools to empower the next generation of developers. Like I said earlier, with GitHub Copilot, for the first time in the history of software, AI can be broadly harnessed by developers to write and complete code. This week also saw Microsoft rolling out gaming features to its Edge browser for gamers. With the new gaming homepage in Microsoft Edge, you can get right to gaming as soon as you launch your browser. Microsoft said the new feature was personalized to your interests and designed to keep you connected to the content you care about, like news, game guides, live streams, game highlights, tournaments, and newly released games. And if you sign in with your Xbox account, you will get Xbox content such as games you might like, and easy access to the Xbox Cloud Gaming Library, including recently played games and related content. If you have an Xbox Game Pass Ultimate membership, you can even launch and start playing games with Xbox Cloud Gaming right in the browser. And now moving on to our next segment. In our section called CEO Speak, today our guest is Evan Davidson, Vice President of Asia Pacific Japan at SentinelOne. SentinelOne delivers autonomous endpoint protection through a single agent that successfully prevents, detects, responds, and hunts attacks across all major vectors. The well-known cybersecurity company was founded in 2013 and had the largest cybersecurity IPO in history, raising over $1.2 billion. Today, SentinelOne has over 1,200 employees and offices around the world, including Australia, Singapore, South Korea, the Philippines, Japan, India, Hong Kong, and Malaysia. So, I began by asking Evan about the cyber pandemic the world of global business saw after it shifted to remote working in response to the health pandemic. there was an increase in social engineering, ransomware as a service, and some major breaches that exposed sensitive data. I asked him how modern technologies like artificial intelligence, machine learning, and automation were changing the way businesses defend themselves in terms of prevention. And, more importantly, response.
Yeah, great question. Let me frame really quickly what we're dealing with. The attackers are well-resourced, have infinite time, are using pretty advanced tool sets today themselves. And really, we then have the defenders who have budget limitations, chain control windows, and many other limitations. And probably the most challenging one is that it's incredibly hard to be able to hire and maintain the humans to drive all of this. So we do need some degree of force multiplication from a defender's perspective. And this is where artificial intelligence using machine learning can help provide that force multiplier. And if we think about the end goal here is to really try and remove and reapply that human capability to the most sophisticated part. So we use AI for the identification, for the response and the remediation, automating that as much as possible. So we take those very valuable humans and apply them again to the most important items. And that's how we're going to provide the additional support to the defenders.
All right, Adir, how'd that go?
That's a good answer. But a lot of the products that claim to use AI are really just using established technology but aren't truly using artificial intelligence. So tell me, Evan, what defines authentic AI security capabilities for digital-first organizations?
Yeah, there's absolutely a very strong marketing slant to the use of AI now in security technologies. And it's very difficult for customers to really make that, I guess, differentiation on how and what that value proposition is. I think the way to kind of define what is authentic AI today is really where we can remove, again, the human component to try and help us in a way that provides automation. And when we talk about digital first, we're talking about digital threats that really need to move at machine speed. So authentic AI in our interpretation is really the application of that now down at the device level, implementing the AI at the agent where what we can define is really at the scene of the crime. So where we'll have an issue, we'll have some form of detection, but the response can be occurring without any connection to the internet, can be operating completely offline and in an autonomous way. And that really is what we define as being authentic AI in a security perspective.
All right. Okay, so can you tell us a bit more about SentinelOne? Could you tell us what SentinelOne is and what makes it unique?
Well, SentinelOne is a cybersecurity technology partner, and our domain and pedigrees really come from the endpoint security, providing the protection and really detection and response on the endpoint. And what we define as the endpoint is really being any device now. It could be mobile, it could be in the cloud, it could be a traditional desktop, could be IoT. And really, our primary focus has been delivering value to a customer where we can eliminate, again, the human components around the response. It's about trying to make the response remediation function as painless as possible to really the defenders that are using our technology. And what makes us unique is the way that we've deployed our behavioral AI in the execution of that technology, where we can help customers today make incredibly fast decisions because the AI resides on the endpoint, can provide automated response and remediation. And like I said, we can do that now across many different endpoints. And we're extending that capability today to really move beyond endpoint into XDR, where we take other components within the security stack, cloud, network, email, and bring that together to provide a much more integrated response capability in a customer security architecture.
Okay, Evan, let's talk about the latest buzzword in cybersecurity, XDR. Please help our audience understand what it is. What is the difference between XDR and EDR?
Yeah, great follow-on question. As I mentioned before, SentinelOne is now really leading the industry in and around XDR, and X stands for Extended Detection and Response. EDR stands for Endpoint Detection Response, and really with XDR, we're now trying to bring together other siloed security architectures, be it email, could be network, other areas that have traditionally operated in a way that don't talk to each other. So XDR is bringing that expertise now where you can provide better response capabilities in a more integrated way across your security architecture. SentinelOne's done a very good job applying its behavioral AI and our response capability on the endpoint. And our goal now is to drive that in, like I said, in a more extended way across the security architecture to help our customers defend and respond to threats much, much faster.
All right. I thought that was a better answer.
There's a perception in the market that cybersecurity solutions supplied by OS vendors and cloud providers must be safer or less risky than those of third-party vendors. What are your thoughts on this perception?
Yeah, that's a really interesting statement. And I think the way to kind of frame that is we've had OS vendors around for a very, very long time. And I think as far as I can remember, we've had a substantial amount of OS vulnerabilities that are provided by these security vendors. And I think to use analogy, do you tend to have the fox guarding the hen house? And I think it's important that if we have OS vendors that can deliver core functionality, but providing a secure environment has been incredibly difficult. So providing expertise over the top of that OS has always been and will always be the right way to provide the customer the peace of mind that they need, that there are additional expertise and eyes within that security vector.
Okay, Evan, so far so good. Here's my last question. What are the three things that an enterprise needs to do to stay secure?
One of the ways to think about this is really the post-pandemic world, because we do know things changed dramatically 2 years ago when COVID had hit. And I guess if we think about this in a post-pandemic world is that number one, the endpoint now is really the new perimeter. We need to make sure that the endpoint is incredibly secure, because we've got endpoints potentially accessing applications in various parts of the world now. So it really is, like I said, is the new perimeter. The second part is customers are moving their business to the cloud. So we need to make sure with that transition that the cloud is now protected. And that's incredibly important. And then as we move to this cloud-orientated architecture, identity is everything. So understanding who's accessing what and providing that additional vital link as part of the, I guess, the new domain that we're operating in. So that would be the three recommendations that I would consider. And obviously, there are many other things to do. But if you're asking me to summarize, that's how I'd think about it.
So that, ladies and gentlemen, was Evan Davidson, VP of Asia Pacific Japan at cybersecurity company SentinelOne, speaking to me. Thank you, Evan, for having taken the time out. And after that interesting chat, let's move on to the next and final segment, all about startups. Today, I am gonna talk of Pluto, a new tool that is open source and free to use. Pluto is an on-device debugging framework for Android apps. The tool has a variety of plugins so that developers can select only what they need and keep the debugging environment simple and lightweight. The open source code for Pluto is on a GitHub repo so that any developer can quickly and easily include the framework in their apps or build onto the original code. Each plugin includes a README file which gives instructions on installation, usability, and runtime application. You can find Pluto at plutolib.com.
A word of caution. listeners are strongly advised to do their due diligence before buying or downloading any of the startups featured here. Startup profiles are only for information purposes, and this podcast does not vouch for any of their features.
Okay, with that, it's a wrap. Hope you have liked today's podcast. Then why don't you press the like button and even subscribe? This is your host, Saurabh Goswala, signing off for now. Stay safe, stay healthy. Until we meet next Sunday.